to the Chelsea Skidmore Show. I'm here today with Alice Little. Alice, I'm so excited to have you here. I'm wondering, what is the best way to introduce you, or how about you introduce yourself to our listeners?
Well, hello, everyone. My name is Alice Little. I am a legal sex worker, sex educator, and an intimacy expert. I am an advocate for sex workers' rights, and am currently self-employed digitally throughout the COVID-19 epidemic.
So were you still working at, is it the Moonlight Bunny? Is it called Bunny Ranch still, or did they change the
name? Yes, okay. It's still the world famous Moonlight Bunny Ranch. Well, I still consider myself to be a representative of the company. Unfortunately, we are closed as per COVID-19 regulations. We've been shut down since mid-March, give or take, and we currently do not have any plans to open in the foreseeable future. All of that, of course, rests in our governor's hands. And as such, I say, digitally employed, because I work full-time at home these days.
So what does that look like? What is digitally employed? Do you do OnlyFans, webcam? Is it like a mutual masturbation on camera? Like, tell me everything you've gotten involved with.
Well, to answer your questions in order, yes, yes, and also yes. This is a full spectrum concierge service, as personal as we can get while social distancing. That looks like using the technology we have available to us, Skype and Zoom, our webcam features, to connect and, of course, arouse each other. This looks like everything from companionship experiences where we simply hang out and have coffee, maybe share a meal, watch a movie, to the more frisky type adventures where I may, say, share my lingerie collection with someone or explore perhaps a role play fantasy. So it's very customizable, very personable, and it works well for the environment we're currently finding ourselves in.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, you have to be adaptable right now. So it sounds like you're doing such a great job with like doing whatever you can, and even like getting into like showing your lingerie collection. Like, I love that. Like, I think one of the things that a lot of people don't understand that, like, you know, sex work, like, it's such a broad spectrum about your experience that you're going to have with your customer or your client. And like, it's not always such an in and out procedure. Like, it, like, you have like actual relation, you know. I know a lot about the industry. I have friends who work in it, and, you know, I myself was a stripper for a couple of years, and I have close friends who are, you know, escorts and stuff. So yeah, I do understand, like, you know, these are like actual relationships, you know, and like, it's not just all about sex. Like, you know, it also sometimes looks like you being a friend to someone as like a therapist almost. Like, you know, I know like a lot of my experiences were just sat listening to guys talk about other girls that they liked, you know?
Preach it. Oh my goodness, you are speaking the gospel truth right now. Let me tell you, I distilled my brand down to three key things: connection, communication, and intimacy. Connection. This is the ability to bond with someone at that deeper level emotionally through shared interests and hobbies, the experience of doing something together. Communication, being able to openly share your thoughts and feelings without judgment in a safe space. And of course, intimacy, that skin to skin, face to face, raw, pure, beautiful sexual energy that we all love and crave. Like, those three things really make up what a sex worker is. We're not just, as you said, one thing. Sex workers, which of course includes strippers and many other different types of professions, they're essentially caregivers in so, so many ways. We are the emotional laborers of our society.
It is so true. It's like, why do you think that some guys are so much more comfortable sharing these intimate conversations? Like, I know, like, guys, you know, share things that they can even tell their wives or their friends. It's like, they trust you. It's almost like you become a priest, like, listening to someone's confession. Like, do you find that that's really what the job is like, you know?
Without a doubt. And it's so funny that you mentioned like the concept of priest or being a priestess, because if we go back historically and take a look back at what was happening in, say, ancient Sumerian, Babylonian times, we find that sex workers fulfilled this pseudo-sacred role within societies in which they were these secret keepers. They spent time with soldiers returning from war and heard their battle stories and then had sex with them, kind of helped heal them mind, body, and spirit, that full connection. In fact, this was viewed as so important that in some societies, soldiers had to be like blessed by the sex worker priestesses before being allowed to return to society, because it was seen as a way to help with what we now know to be PTSD type symptoms. Like, hello, sex workers have been here since the dawn of time. We fulfill a very real and important role in society. And I don't know, in some ways I feel like 2020 has almost been like a magnifying lens as to how important those three things are and how necessary they are.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure like a lot of people are feeling more, you know, lonely than ever, some people, and some people really like are craving that connection. So like, it's amazing that you're able to provide that service digitally. Is this something that you're doing with regulars? Are they new customers? Is this an offshoot of people? Like, is the Bunny Ranch involved anyway in what you're doing digitally at home? So this is like regulars that you had, like what's your experience with your clientele right now and how are you getting them?
So unfortunately, the legal laws written in such a way that the ranches really only are able to operate from the presence of the ranches. Therefore, they're not really able to be of, nor are they set up to be of assistance to us throughout a situation like this. Keep in mind, we've been legal since the 1970s and we have never closed ever. We literally stayed open through the HIV pandemic. We've literally never closed. So I mean, we're talking about fully unprecedented times here. So we can't necessarily expect the ranches to have those tools. At the same time, sex workers were really left to sink or swim on their own. We are independent contractors, and as such, we were not able to take advantage of a single level of government assistance. We're not employees, therefore we can't get unemployment. We are a part of an industry that is discriminated against when it comes to PPP and the SBA loan, so we didn't get a dollar of government support there. And because we're all independent contractors, we very much so had to figure it out for ourselves. Like, I as a result, jumped online. I reached out to my regulars, folks that were already supporting me, people who had upcoming appointments that we weren't going to be able to make, and we started to connect digitally. From where I established a pretty successful following on OnlyFans and started to connect with guests that I never had before, new folks. And then I ended up encountering the most beautiful kind of subcategory of people that like I've always wanted to connect with, and those that have disabilities as such that leave them unable to travel. I've never had the time to be able to work in a digital format. I've been so busy with my in-person work that those who were unable to travel out to Nevada, there was literally no way for us to be able to connect. You figure it's not legal for me to leave the state and go to them, and they require medical aid and significant transport to be able to come out to me, and there was no time to be online, so what do? Well, we take advantage of a damn pandemic. That's what we did. Like,
yeah,
it ended up being the most amazing and beautiful experience. I've loved getting to connect with these people, many of which I've been emailing back and forth with for many, many months or years, even as they've been like passively following me on social media. And so it really was like a strange COVID-19 present, was that I got to connect with all of these people that I never was able to before.
I love that. That's amazing. So it was like a pretty smooth adjustment then.
It's like a duck in the water, you know, there's some frantic paddling happening under the water, but, you know, I consider myself incredibly blessed and very grateful that I had the capacity to come online. I think it's extremely important to talk about those that don't have the capacity to come online. I'm talking about my coworkers who work within professions, those that choose to blur their face on the website. If you were to go to bunnyranch.com, you would see about 30% of my coworkers, they don't have their face, and that's because they're protecting their anonymity. How is somebody like that supposed to enter the online space and do sex work online? There is no feasible way for them to do so. Those are the folks I worry about.
What about
those that are, say, single mothers, those that are having to take care of their kids during all this? Like, I'm single. It's me and this cat, two chihuahuas, a pig, and two horses. Like, I don't have any children running around that I have to take care of. So it's like, oh no, if somebody walks into the bedroom and I'm naked, it's like, Luna, get out of my bedroom. I'm working right now. Stop it. But like, what is someone supposed to do if they have small children around? How does that work for them? So, I mean, not everybody had the ability to just kind of jump into it like I was able to. I was very, very, very fortunate to be able to do so.
Yeah. So let's backtrack a little and just bring everyone up to speed about your journey and how you ended up getting into this line of work and where you're from, where you grew up.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, where you're from, where you grew up, and you can just kind of take us through and, let us know.
Yes, sure. So I was actually born in Ireland. I came over stateside when I was 5 years old, grew up primarily on the East Coast. Kind of a crazy horse person my entire life. I grew up horseback riding, very involved in different equestrian pursuits, absolutely loved it. Well, at the same time, I was very interested in art, travel. So I spent a fair bit of my time in New York City. Well, I ended up going to school in the city around college age, and my roommates, well, let's just say they had kind of an interesting career.
Wait, where did you go?
Oh, to a SUNY school in the city.
Oh, I went to Pace.
Hey, city, that's what's up. Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
I'm from New York.
Yeah.
I grew up in Westchester.
Stop.
You're from Long Island? Yeah.
Yeah, stop it, Nassau County. That's hilarious.
I know.
So you have access to the world's best bagels. You know what true privilege is.
Yes.
God. I would murder somebody for like authentic New York bagels and pizza right now.
I know.
Like the suffering out here is so real. Never move. My biggest regret is not consuming more delicious baked goods before I left. Oh,
yeah.
The heartbreak. There is no good pizza outside of New York. Sorry, Chicagoers.
No, it's true. It's true. There's some good places in LA, but really, truly nothing compares to New York. It's a completely different game. It's the water, as you know. It's in the water.
Yes. Yes. Oh, goodness. Yes.
Okay. So I interrupted you. Yeah. Your roommate.
You're fine. As far as like New York, even for New Yorkers, like my roommates had something going on with them. There was like an entire closet full of black leather and chains and cuffs and collars and all sorts of kinky delights. And of course, I'm like, what's that? What's that? What's that? Hi, what's that? I'm your new college roommate. Tell me everything that's going on behind door number two. Thank you. And well, come to find out, one of their parents owned a BDSM dungeon in New York City, one of the nice private
locations. Pandora's Box?
I won't say which location it was. There's many throughout New York City, but I worked at the front desk of one of those locations, and I helped schedule everybody's appointments. And then, you know, that they always bring in educators, not just for the professionals, but also for, like, the local community, because oftentimes they're not just private kingdom spaces, but like community spaces too. So you figure I'm setting up all these different educational things, like I love it. Well, New York is New York, it snows in New York, and what happens when it snows in New York? No planes land in New York. So I'm left without an instructor. Jump into the teaching seat because, hi, it's me at the front desk with my box o floggers, and thank God I've been doing this for a hot minute now and I've been practicing. So I managed to pull off a very successful flogger class, which somehow got me invited to teaching at another location. And then I was teaching at another location. And then I was teaching at a conference, and the next thing I knew, I was literally flying around the country on my weekends.
Wait, can I ask you something really quick? I have to interrupt.
Go for it.
Any advice on, like, properly using a flogger? I think I might own three of them. And, like, for me, like, I think it's just a matter of going like that. Like, I know you can drag it. Like, do you have a quick little lesson for
me? Okay. So, the way to do floggers is super easy. You can literally practice it with a pen. So what you do is you hold it out in front of you like it's the flogger handle, right? So you've got the leather that's coming out this way. And what you're going to do is draw an X in front of you coming from your top shoulder down to your hip. And then you're going to draw a circle up over your shoulder. So it's going to come back around. And then you draw the X to the other side. And now you've come one direction, looped around the other direction. And then same thing, you loop it around. And then you figure if you can make that more dramatic or less dramatic by either using your shoulder or your elbow or even just your wrist to kind of get that same either X or something, think of it as like almost a sideways figure eight. But the idea being that you're going to make contact with this part of someone's shoulders. So like the meaty section, not the bony section, because you don't want to hit over the shoulder. That's kind of like that wrapping is painful. So you just want to get that meaty section. You're aiming as you kind of come down to hit at an angle. So this way you're making contact with the body right here. Here's somebody's meaty part of their shoulder. Hit across on one shoulder blade, come back around, hit down the other shoulder blade. And then you're able to go back and forth, and then you're kind of hitting that nice fleshy part of someone's back. You figure you don't want to wrap around the top of someone's shoulders. You don't want to hit across the top of the spine. You don't want to wrap around somebody's neck or collarbones. You really want to stick to the nice, meaty, muscular sections of the body. Of course, buttocks, you figure it's just aim lower. Now you're hitting somebody's butt with your flogger, and that's really cute. And of course, you can flog somebody's front. And you figure if you want to do that, just have somebody turn their head to the side because you don't want to flog faces. Yeah.
Okay. That's interesting.
I love education. Like, if you can't tell, that is where my heart is. That is where my passion is. And it was at one of those events that a fellow educator mentioned the legal brothels to me. And I'm like, oh, hello. We have those here in America? Legal brothels. Well, I'll be damned. And then I promptly decided to fill out an application online and booked a plane ticket 72 hours later to go to Nevada. That was 5 years ago, and I literally have not looked back ever since. And the only thing that stopped me so far is literally a pandemic.
So did you first go to Moonlight, or were you at a different place first?
So the Moonlight Bunny Ranch is a family of different locations that are all within like a stone's throw of each other. So I first started off at the Sagebrush Ranch, which is one of the larger, but also it's a little bit more laid back. Like, for example, the Sagebrush Ranch kind of has like a comfortable living room feel, where the Moonlight Bunny Ranch can sometimes get a little bit like, woo, 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 party, 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 popping champagne bottles. Like, it can get a little bit wild at the Bunny Ranch sometimes. I mean, there's a theme song that was done for the HBO Cat House. It was it's going down at the Bunny Ranch, something like that. And it gets really crazy sometimes. I'm really glad I did not start there. It would have scared me.
Yeah, I used to watch the show in high school, and I knew who Air Force Amy was, you know, so I've known about the Bunny Ranch forever, and I remember watching her on a talk show. Was it like Maury or Sally Jesse or something?
Something like that. Bless her heart.
Yeah. So I've always been fascinated by the Bunny Ranch. I'm curious, what was your first night like? Like, do you remember it like it was yesterday? Like, having to line up and like, were you nervous? What's the experience like when a customer walks in? Like, is there like a bell that's rung and you all like line up, like, and then they pick you like based off your looks? Like, walk us through that.
So that wasn't my first entire night at the ranch. Keep in mind that it's like a 3 or 4 day process to go to the doctor, get your results back, go to the sheriff, do your background check, get your work card, go through the training process with your big sister before you actually ever start on the hook. Now, the process you were kind of talking about, that's called a lineup. Now, a lineup happens when a guest comes in that doesn't have an appointment with a specific lady. He wants to see who's available, maybe not sure who he wants to speak with. And so once a guest comes through the front door, their ID is going to be checked by the door person. Then they're going to ring a bell, which is going to ring down all the different hallways, and you're going to hear the high heels clicking and clattering down the halls where they all come forward into the parlor. There, the ladies are going to stand, smiling, facing forward with their hands kind of like neatly tucked behind their back, and they're going to introduce themselves one by name. Then the hostess will encourage you to walk up to whichever beautiful lady so catches your eye. She will then take you by the hand, and you will then be taken on a tour of the entire property. Because, of course, it's quite expansive. We have different themed rooms. We have a horse stable and a pool and all sorts of wonderful things. So we'll kind of share the amenities with our guests before we return back to our suites, where we then have the negotiation conversation, where we talk all about what they're interested in, what kind of things they like to experience, how long we want to spend together. And then that's where that all kind of takes place. The other way that guests connect with ladies is by an appointment. And this is how I'm normally available, is by appointment only. This happens through email before somebody even travels to the area. They might go to the Bunny Ranch website, take a look at the site, all the different ladies that are listed, and then select to contact whichever one is most interesting. They can then email back and forth a few times, share their thoughts and ideas, and then they'll select a day and a time to meet in the future. The guest is then going to call in a deposit, usually about 10% of whatever their intended budget is, and that's going to act as a placeholder for that day. Of course, we'll then email or text back and forth until the date that we meet. And then by the time we meet face to face, it's like seeing an old friend.
Is the pricing different for each girl, or is it like standard throughout?
So every single lady is an independent contractor, and as such, nothing is standardized. There's no like price list, there's no menu. Every single lady can choose to offer whichever services she does want to, or whatever services she does not want to, she can always choose to decline. Because you figure everybody has stuff they're uncomfortable with, and ladies are always encouraged to say no. You figure you're allowed to say no at any point in time for any reason at all whatsoever. Like, we're not being held hostage. It's entirely
right,
up to us
of course,
to decide what it is we want to do. And there's been many a time where somebody will bring something to me and I'll say, hey, I'm not available, or hey, I can't fulfill that request, but here's someone who can. And I'll kind of play like brothel matchmaker in a way.
Has there ever been an unusual request that you were like, I just can't do that? And are you willing to tell us, like, you know, what that was? Or on top of that, or second to that, like, what's some of the most interesting sort of requests that you've had? Like, what was too much? And then what was some of the more, I don't want to say the weirdest, because, you know, whatever someone is into is what they're into. And like, you know, I respect that. And I know you respect that. Mm-hmm. So I'm just saying, like, the more interesting and unusual, not weird, but.
Yep, I hear you. So you figure, quote unquote, weird isn't necessarily the word I would use, or most unique isn't the word I would use. I would say something that came up across one of my personal boundaries is probably the better way to describe it. Because you figure what's weird or different to one person is another person's Tuesday. So like for me, I say yes to all sorts of stuff. I'm very creative. Like, you wanna play with balloons? Let's go. Latex, I'm game. Role play, in it. Like, I'm in, let's go. But where I had to draw the line was somebody wanted to build like an ice cream sundae on top of my body and lick it off of me. It was the mouth sounds. I can't.
The mouth sounds like a mess of.
What's that?
It's the thing that, like, when you don't like to hear the sound of people eating.
Oh, like misophonia?
Yeah. Was it like a misophonia thing? That's so funny.
Yep, bingo. Could not handle it. Like, they emailed me, and I'm like, that's a really cool idea. That sounds really hot. Unfortunately, I can't handle that. Like, that, yeah. The sound, the effect of that, I'm not going to be comfortable. I'm not going to have a good time. Let me refer you to somebody that's going to be a perfect fit. And keep in mind, too, that people are constantly giving me references. For example, a lady sent me an email from a lady, hey, Alice, this gentleman is interested in pony play. And I'm like, hi, I am very familiar with pony play. What can I do for you? Are you looking for a pony or looking for a rider? Because I'm a switch. Let's play. Like, I'm very, very open-minded. There is almost nothing that I have not had some level of experience with or knowledge of, or that I'm not interested in learning more of. That just tends to be my personality. It's not true for all sex workers. You figure many ladies will decline things that are not necessarily on their list, like different kinks and fetishes are often more of a specialty type service, or like maybe hardcore anal or porn star experience. Some girls aren't going to be as comfortable with that. Just kind of a few examples.
Yeah, what are some of the themed rooms? I ask that because I'm obsessed with themed rooms. Have you been to the Madonna Inn Hotel in California? I got
Amazing.
Married there.
I could cry.
Yeah, I'm obsessed.
That's incredible.
I know. Thank you. Yeah, I'm obsessed with themed rooms, so I was really excited to hear what the themed rooms were there at the Bunny Ranch.
So, at the Bunny Ranch, you figure we've got kind of it's not necessarily an enclosed room, but it's on our private property and it's entirely clothing optional. We've got a saltwater hot tub that's paired with a swimming pool, all heated and really nice, and you can kind of lounge around there. We have a party house that's kind of set up with like a sports theme. It's got different sports memorabilia on the walls, a big TV, a kitchenette, so this way you could watch a sports game and then have the ladies kind of entertain. Over at the Sagebrush Ranch, they have like kind of a dance-themed room with a pole and mirrors and a little mini stage. They also have an indoor jacuzzi over at the Sagebrush. Now, if we make our way over to the Love Ranch is going to have like an actual like sex swing and kind of like a little sexy alcove with mirrors all around it that you can use. There's a Marilyn Monroe themed suite at the Bunny Ranch. Photos and pictures and just so over the top. There's like a leopard print room. I mean, it's constantly changing. And of course, the ladies are always decorating their own spaces, so you never really know what you're going to find.
Oh, so do you all have your own rooms?
Mm-hmm. And in addition to our personal suites, we also have a number of larger luxury suites for guests that are choosing to stay longer with the ladies.
Oh, that's cool. Because if you do an overnight, then you're doing it in your personal suite.
Bingo. This way we have a nicer, larger, more comfortable space. So for myself, because I'm only available by appointment, I actually work out of one of our suites in the back rather than one of the smaller rooms that's attached to the main house. So you figure when I spend a night with a guest, I don't have to pack out and go somewhere. We're already in my space and I'm already set up for us.
Yeah. So you're one of the highest paid girls there, right?
I am the most successful legal sex worker
in the world
ever. Well, legal sex worker in, you figure, the state of Nevada, but it's only legal in Nevada. So I guess technically you can say I'm the highest paid legal sex worker in the country. And technically, sex work is only fully legalized in Nevada for all of North America. So, I mean, by a really large technicality, one could go so far as to say the most successful legal sex worker on the continent. But that's ridiculous. I don't
care. How does that feel?
Money. I honestly, I don't care. I never did it for fame. I never did it for money. It was never my intention. That almost happened by mistake. I didn't find out, like, until halfway through December, the very first year, and they were like, by the way, you're probably going to be the most successful person of all these houses, and like, you're on track to make more than anybody else ever has before in an entire calendar year. FYI, just so you know there, like, what? I'm incredibly grateful ridiculously grateful, but I was always so focused on learning and connecting with people and understanding them and kind of just like having fun with it that wasn't like a, oh, woohoo, I achieved a thing. That was like, oh, cool, I did that, oops.
What do you think makes you the most, I know that obviously like the money, but I'm saying like, in terms of like, what are the reasons why you're the most successful worker there? Like, you know, obviously like speaking with you, like instantly I was like, oh my God, she's incredibly charismatic. You're very, there's like something very special about you. You have like a glow about you. You're very positive. You smile a lot. Like, honestly, like I was like the worst stripper because I was like never smiling. Like, you know what I mean? And I'm just like, and I'm like, oh, that's why she's successful. She literally can't stop smiling. You genuinely seem like a happy person. Like, to me, like those are reasons. I think it's like, you know, like I don't doubt that a guy would ever wonder if you were happy to be there. You know, I think like a lot of women like might make guys feel like they're like, oh, they don't really want to be here. They're just doing it for money. Like, it seems like this is like, it's beyond that. It seems like you really do love like connection with people. To me, those are the reasons why I'm going to guess, like make you really successful and great at what you do. But I want to hear from you what you think are some of the skills that you have. And I don't want to say skills because it's not like you're like, I don't think that you're fabricating anything, but just as a successful businesswoman, like what are some of the things that are important to you and why you think have carried you throughout your career so far?
So I think that it's putting people first. My focus has always been on how am I connecting with people? How am I meeting their needs? What benefit am I bringing to them in their lives? How can I be a positive influence upon them? How is my actions going to impact others' lives? And so everything I kind of do is like through that particular lens. Every decision I make, everything I plan out, what kind of content I'm creating on YouTube. I draw so much inspiration from the guests themselves and what it is that's captivated their interests. So very much so, staying on top of that communication and that like back and forth. I answer all my own emails. I answer all my own text messages. Like there's never a time that my cell phone isn't like within arm's reach because I'm constantly, constantly messaging people. I answer all my Twitter DMs. I answer all my Instagram DMs. If you message me, I'm the person who's going to see it. Hello. I work like a mad person because I refuse to allow anybody else to be me. You figure that on top of the fact that I think it's very important to be respectful of people, treat others the way that they want to be treated, you know? That looks like respecting people's pronouns. That looks like respecting people's cultures, respecting their place of origin. What kind of food do they enjoy? And trying to be as good of a host as possible and accommodate things that can make my guests a little bit more comfortable. Like, I had a guest who's coming to the local area who is keeping kosher. And I prepped a list of all the different kosher places around town that were near their hop, like where they were staying in the hotel. So this way it's like, here's a list of places that check out that are like actually kosher. Like I know I called. Or like wow. if somebody says that they're a vegan, you don't take them to a steakhouse, you know? If somebody's like, you pay attention and you genuinely care about people. Like, it sounds so simple, but people these days exist on a very like two-dimensional plane. Like we see what somebody is wearing and we see the makeup on their face and the lingerie on their body. And that is the depth of the conversation. And for me, it's always been more. It's always been deeper, more involved and more emotive in many ways. I would say those are probably the things that make me most different from my colleagues is that I have this tendency to really want to relate to people, to form these like intricate, deep and meaningful relationships, not just, hi there, I like your face, let's have sex, okay? Like that does nothing for me. Like I am unaroused. Like, that's great, your six pack is real cute, but do you have anything of substance to say? What's going on in your head? What's going on in your heart? And that's what guides me.
Yeah, so what I'm hearing is that the connection is super important to you. What are your tips on connecting with guys? And I think that, you know, single women or single men could use this. Like, in general, like, when you meet with someone and you like them, like, what are ways that we can connect? Because I feel like so many people are so glazed over, you know, just or like distracted by our phones or like, you know, especially like in today's age with, yeah, with technology, like, how can we, like, what are the best ways for us to connect in person to each other? What are the things that we need to be doing?
Well, of course, you have to be 6 feet apart at the present moment, because hashtag social distancing. But outside of that space, it is so important to, when you are spending time with other people, put your cell phone face down and don't pick it up unless there's a true emergency, for the love of God. You've got to be participating in the here and in the now. And it looks like living your life in the here and now. What are your hobbies? What are your interests? How are you participating in those within your local community? Are you an artist? Well, go join a local artist co-op if you want to meet a hot art guy. Like, where is the hot single art guy? At the artist co-op. Let's say you're into plants, you're into gardening. Go volunteer with your local, like, nursery. You figure a lot of communities do like urban gardening for kids. Go help out with that. I guarantee you, you're gonna meet a whole bunch of like green thumbed hotties that way. Like, you're a book nerd, join a book club. The last thing you should be doing though is going to a bar and sitting there and ordering drinks all night long. That is the worst place to meet people. Mm-hmm. Like, I would send you to the library before I would send you to a bar to meet somebody, because you've got to be in a space that speaks as to who you are. And you're not a drink, you're not an indulgence. You have interests, you have hobbies, and you've got to go out and enrich your life, not just to find somebody else, but do it with the personal mission of, I'm going to make my own life more fulfilled and better. I promise, you don't need a guy to go do yoga. You don't need a guy to go hike. You don't need a guy to go to the movies or out to eat or to go painting or swing dancing or any of those things. But I bet you if you put yourself out there in those spaces, you're probably going to come across a guy. And if you're in a space that you're genuinely happy and having fun, you're going to get to have that shared, connective, in-person, real experience with another human being that just might possibly result in some really hot sex. Just saying.
So when you're finally in the room behind closed doors, and after you've gone on this tour, face-to-face with the guy or the girl that you're going to be with, you know, how do we ease people's, how are we getting people comfortable? What are you doing in terms of connecting with someone? You know, and I know you've also had a lot of experiences with virgins. This is a 3-point question. I have so many questions circling through my head that I just keep layering.
Bam, 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 go for it.
Yeah, so talk to me about connection. Talk to me about making people comfortable. And I want to hear about virgin experiences.
Yes. So the date doesn't always start by just jumping into bed together with foreplay. Sometimes it does. In instances where we are starting out with a very sexual experience, the way that I'm getting somebody comfortable is using my hands and the closeness of my body. I'm going to step into their personal space with their consent. I'll first reach out, and the first thing that'll cross kind of that personal space bubble will be my hand, and I'll say, hey, is it all right if I, you know, start touching you, interacting with you, and come a little bit closer? And now they're opting into consent. By saying yes, their mind is telling their body that they can let go, that they are giving themselves permission to receive the affection. That is then going to let people respond and be like, here, wrap your arms around me too. And sometimes it's just as simple as that, touching somebody's head, cheek, stroking their skin. And then I'll eventually bring my hand behind their head and kind of bring their face in a little bit closer and lean in and ask for permission. May I kiss you? This is especially important with virgins, because many virgins have never even had their first kiss before. And so you always want to lead with consent by pausing and getting that agreeance before coming in closer and kissing. Now, once you have the consent to kiss, there's this principle that consent is continuously granted, where it's not, can I kiss you? Yes. 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 From this moving forward for this space of time, for the duration, There is withstanding consent for that activity. May I touch you? Yes, withstanding consent is there. However, as we move on to say maybe touching across somebody's shoulders and arms to maybe undoing their bra, we might pause for a moment and say, is this all right? Yes, absolutely. Guide their hands through undoing my bra and sliding it down. But of course, we're not always jumping right into the bedroom. Sometimes we're going out for a meal first, sitting down, having coffee, having a conversation, not dissimilar to what you and I are having right now. We could be talking about plants. We could be talking about accounting. We could be talking about politics. We could be talking about books, TV, any number of different things, whatever it is that delights somebody and brings warmth to their heart. I work and quote unquote keep my skills up by staying present and involved in a variety of different hobbies and interests. I play Dungeons and Dragons and love Star Wars. I do yoga and work out and do Pilates. I'm also lifting weights and I've gotten into jogging. I also do horseback riding and I'm familiar with archery. I know how to fire a gun and I learned how to fly a solar glider, which was kind of cool. So, I mean, I have like this ridiculous array of different things that I'm able to conversate with somebody about and help connect with them on that particular level. And you figure that is where intimacy and that connection really starts to blossom. It's so much more than just that physical attraction. It's that intellectual connection that's really unique and special. And that, more than anything else, forming that kind of connection is what really warms people up, settles them, and allows them to lean into whether it be a first experience or a 10th experience.
What's your favorite part about a date?
My favorite part is learning from different people's life experiences and the surprising twists and turns that other people's lives have taken. You figure we are all the main character in our own story, and we all know what's the craziest thing that's happened in your life. And you probably have a wild story that nobody would guess looking at you at that surface level. Like, I once met a lady, I was getting to know her, and she shares with me her life experience of growing up in a cult in Belize and having to escape and travel across the borders. And I'm just like, what?
Wow.
Like, blown away. But everybody's life has these very incredible, unique experiences. And I think those are the true treasures of humanity. Those unique little gems of lived experience that no one else is going to get to have, ever.
Yeah, I love that. That's interesting. Okay, what about sex advice? What is, if you were going to be teaching a class on, you know, how to blow your partner's mind, what is some of the stuff that you would go over?
So, if you want to blow your partner's mind, I like to do a little foreplay technique that most people have never taken the time to do. You literally take out your phone and set a timer for 15 minutes. No sex occurs before that goddamn timer goes off, okay? Now for 15 minutes, you are literally going to run your hands up and down your partner, every square inch of their body, slowly and surely undressing them for 15 minutes. Head to toe, run your fingers through their hair, take your fingertips over their ears, stroke their jaw, run your fingers all the way through their hair, maybe tug on their hair, see if they like that more than when you trail their hair. What about their shoulder blades? What happens if you kiss their shoulder blades? What happens if you rub their shoulder blades? And for 15 minutes, all you do is make love to your partner's body. Not their bits and pieces, their body, everything but the sexual stuff, their hips, their shoulders, the little crevices, their arm connects to the torso. That is one of the most profound and connective experiences that you can have for your partner. And there's nothing special you have to do other than say, hi, I heard about this on a podcast and we're going to try it. It's going to be real hot. I'm setting a timer for 15 minutes and like real good stuff's going to happen. I'm kicking on some sexy music now. Shut up and deal with this. And most of the time your partner's going to be like, okay, yeah, that sounds real good. Abso-frickin-lutely, I am game. And then at the end of 15 minutes, they're probably going to jump your bones because they are so ridiculously aroused. Mm-hmm. Because that's the second part of that. It's about like halfway through that 15 minutes, they're like, I'm horny, let's have sex. Mm-hmm. And you're not having sex for another 7 minutes here, buddy. Here we go. And then that gets to become part of the fun, the teasing and the playfulness of it kind of naturally finds its way in there to the point where you're both kind of looking at the timer like, yeah, oh, it's not time yet. Is it time yet? It's not time yet. And it kind of becomes this like fun flirtation back and forth. And it's really easy. And it just gets you to break out of the sex habits you currently have. That's it. One thing, one new thing. You don't have to go out and buy lingerie and cut your hair and get a hairstyle and change the bedding and set candles and change the lighting. You don't have to do any of that. Just pick one thing, any one thing to make intentionally different about your love life. Start there.
Wait, were your headphones plugged into your computer?
Oh, yeah.
I think it unplugged because the sound changed slightly.
How's that sound now?
It sounds, I don't know, somehow your volume was, it sounds fine, but your volume was a little louder and then it got a little softer and I was just curious if it unplugged, yeah. but I'm sure it's fine.
Be okay.
Okay. Weird. Okay. All good. So the 7 minutes, is that like, am I like allowed to suck dick then or am I still just playing?
Oh, you are just teasing him. Like literally all okay. 15 minutes is just teasing, flirtation, foreplay. At no point in time should you do anything more than take the very tips of your fingers and just like tease him. That's it. That's as far as it goes for 15 whole minutes. So it's, you want him writhing.
So 15 minutes is stroking the whole body. 7 minutes is teasing and tantalizing, but I'm not putting my mouth on his dick yet.
Bingo, you might be keeping it anywhere else, but you might be taking your hands and tracing down his thighs and then back up his thighs and acting like you're going to and then doing something else. I mean, the whole idea is that you want him hot, you want him bothered, and you want him ready to go by the time that the timer goes off. And just that one change, you just taking that long to kind of rev up, wild.
I'm excited. Wild. I'm like, wait, and then the second that 7 minute timer goes off, I'm sure it's just completely hot and over and that's, yeah. Wow, that's so fun. I really love that. Yeah, I've done kind of like a version of that. Just like, it's like anytime we do something different, like, oh, tonight, like I'm gonna give you a massage. And it's like, wait, what? And then it's like, you put on like relaxing music, the lights are dim, like, you're massaging them, like, that's not, like, something I normally do, so, like, my husband, and then I'm not quite hooking up with him yet, and if there's a little bit of teasing, but it's, like, finally, you know, it really builds up, but, like, the timing aspect brings, like, a whole another level of excitement, so I'm so excited to try that.
And there's, yes, the way I like to think about it is pick one sense and change that sense. For example, the sense of taste. Introduce aphrodisiacs, things that are kind of arousing, finger foods you can feed your partner. That's one thing. Or you could do flavored lube instead, or like kissable body oil instead, or chocolate syrup, whatever it is. Like, do something with taste. Sight, wear something really like sexy, like get some new lingerie and do like a little lingerie back and forth. Or do the opposite and blindfold your partner, take away their sight, change the way that it's used.
I like that. Sound. And that's like
yeah, and you just work your way through the different senses and you just find different ways to tweak and change their little experiences. And then, well, you get to make sweet, sweet music results.
I love that. So that's like a separate aspect of ways to spice it up, like in terms of working with, oh my God, these are such great tips. I never thought
about
working with
putting
senses.
Yeah,
before.
I'm putting out an educational DVD, like a, I don't want to call it porn, but we'll call it educational, X-rated. Like, this is sex education for actual adults that shows you what it is that I'm talking about. And it's called Sex for the Senses. It's going to be coming out here shortly. It's my first full-length, self-filmed, self-produced, self-directed. I gave all of my editing notes. Like, I did the whole crazy thing. And it literally goes through sense by sense by sense, different things that you can do, how to set it up, etc.
That's amazing. Is there any other tips? I mean, those are two incredible tips, and I'm so pleased with that. I'm wondering if there's one more, and it could be in terms of anything, what about like, you know, how to, okay. So for me personally, like anal, like it's like, I'm just like not, I feel like I'm not a fan. I feel like all my girlfriends know some secret that I don't know. And maybe it's just like, I've been doing it wrong. I feel like it like hurts my stomach. Like, what am I doing wrong? How do I make it easier? Cause I feel like guys love it, but like, I feel like I'm not enjoying it. So I want to like, I want to, I just don't know if I'm doing it wrong, you know?
Okay. So the first place we're going to start is with the type of lube you're losing. The type of lube that you're using. If you're just kind of like getting yourself used to it, go ahead and use like a silicone anal lube. They even have anal ease, which is slightly numbing anal lube while you're getting used to the sensations.
I want that. I want that.
You want to start with a very small plug, very small. And I do mean like slightly larger than your thumb, maybe your two thumbs together.
Wait, you know what's so funny? Do you know the icicle one?
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Like a, okay. So like my husband got that. I'm like, it hurts. And then I sent a picture of it to my friend. She's like, that's so big. Like you were starting way too big. And we're like,
you gotta start real small.
An icicle in my
Yep. You've got to start so small. And it's also important to lube yourself and the toy. Now, keep in mind that you got to think about how your butthole kind of works. I do, if you don't mind. Is that all right?
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
Hang tight. I'm so sorry.
Is it Postmates? Alice's doorbell just rang, so she's going to get it. I'm wondering who it is. I'm thinking it's Postmates. I'm not sure. She has a cute little pink chair. I'm wondering if she does her gaming in that chair. We hear her doggies. I wish I could meet her doggies. I'm just filling the space right now. I'm just gonna wait until she's back.
There we go. Sorry about that. My garbage disposal stopped working, which is why I'm like, I'll have to wrap around like 4:10.
Oh, yeah.
That's when I thought they were going to get here, but they got here a bit early.
Oh.
We're fine. He's situated.
Okay. You're okay?
Yep. We're good to finish wrapping up.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Sorry. So we were saying lubing the plug and yourself.
Mm-hmm. Gotta get plenty of lube on both, get that all good to go. You figure it's extremely important because there's no natural lube that's being produced back there.
Yeah.
So you gotta be doing it the right way. And like I said, small toys first, it shouldn't hurt. If it hurts, you're going too fast, you haven't used lube, or you're using something that is just far too big. Use something smaller, like slow down. This isn't a race, this isn't a marathon. Get comfortable with one plug for like 3 to 5 times before you graduate to the next size,
oh.
The next size, to the next size. Now, once you reach like the, like, you know, few inches, something of substance, you can start kind of moving it back and forth to feel for what that's going to be like and get comfortable with that sensation. Do you recommend using other sex toys and keeping yourself engaged and aroused? But like, you've got to take it slow. It's a training process. I promise you it doesn't happen overnight. And if you don't use it, you will lose it. So if that's something you want to do in any sort of regular basis, use toys. Just use toys and you'll be fine.
Yeah, I feel like I definitely can incorporate them more, you know? Especially like, you know,
friends.
Yeah, being married, I feel like I need to be like constantly spicing it up and keeping things fun. It's like, I feel like, you know, when you're dating, things are so crazy. And then when you get married, you get comfortable. And I just like, don't want to lose that like fun part of myself.
I feel that. I feel that.
So going forward into the future, like, do you have any goals down the line? I know that you mentioned, you know, that you want to make the DVD, but like, what are some of the things that you want to accomplish going forward?
Oh gosh. Well, you figure I'm just looking to get through the end of this whole pandemic situation. But once that's all settled, situated and resolved, I would love to see the expansion of sex work outside of Nevada and exist in a legal capacity in other states. Long-term, of course, I want to see decriminalization as well as legalization. You figure we really need both if we're going to have a long-term meaningful change. Right now in Nevada, the only people who are eligible to work are women. That excludes men, that excludes folks who are trans, and that's really problematic. And even then you figure everyone's having to come all the way out to Nevada in order to work, which means that single mothers are very limited. It's very difficult for them to be able to work. And because of all those different factors, I really feel as if we need to have that expansive legalization as well as decriminalization. So, I mean, we'll see what happens on the other side of the pandemic. Surely now is not the time for those things. Mm-hmm. You figure the brothels are still closed. So you figure short-term goals are kind of where I'm focused right now. Things like working on that DVD project, creating content for YouTube, making content on OnlyFans, continuing to do education, focusing on really connecting with people and getting everyone through this together. And then on the other side, I'd love to do things like in-person events and meetups and maybe some internet courses. There's all sorts of possibilities out there, but you figure short-term for now, short-term for now.
I love that. How has this affected your dating and relationships? For me personally, like when I was a stripper, I had some close friends who I felt like were very judgmental of me, and our relationships kind of fell apart for a couple of years. And now I feel like I'm like constantly still proving myself to them, even though I'm so far from that. And I'm doing different stuff today, but I still feel like they look at me in like a certain way. Like, what do you, have you had any experience like that? And what have you done to like, for your inner work for yourself to, you know, like how do you, like, I'm obviously you're like, okay with everything that you do, but like, talk to me about like some of the inner work that you've done to get to where you are.
Oh, for me, that's real simple. I am the number one person in my life, first and foremost, and anybody who isn't 100% supportive of me, of my career, and of my choices doesn't have a place in my life. I mean, I've absolutely cut people out of my life as a result of this career. I've changed doctors 3 different times trying to find one that didn't stigmatize me. I'm very much so my biggest advocate when it comes to what it is that I expect from my relationships with other people, and supporting sex work is a non-optional caveat of being my friend. You figure with those strong personal boundaries in place, I really don't allow those negative voices to become an influence in my life. And when it does occur in places where I can't avoid it, you figure online I'm constantly stigmatized. You know what? That's great. That is somebody who doesn't understand who I am and what I'm about. Now I have an opportunity to connect with them and an opportunity to educate with them. You figure, why do they believe so fervently that sex work is in fact the devil? Where does that belief come from? Is that a religious belief? It comes from the Bible. Where does that come from in the Bible? Do you have a passage? Do you have something that you're citing here? Like, no, I'm serious. It's like, where does this belief originate from? Mm-hmm. And the hard fact is, when you distill it down to its root, oftentimes these beliefs don't exist within a truthful reality. It's not a fact, it's a feeling, it's a belief. And once somebody identifies something as being a belief, it's a little bit easier for them to understand, well, my beliefs aren't the same as your beliefs, and that's okay, I respect you. I'm not saying you have to do this, but I am saying that you don't get to use that as reason to tell me that I'm not allowed to live my life in the way that I want to. That's all I'm saying, live and let live.
I love that. Yeah, you have such a great, strong sense of self. Was that something that you always had, or did
you? Oh, God, no.
Okay. I'm like, I want to be like you.
Oh, God, no. I'm a super duper introvert. This is something that took many years and lots and lots and lots of lots of inner work, reading, mm-hmm. education. Gosh, I mean, it is so important to have a good understanding of who you are and self-acceptance mm-hmm. and have that solid foundation to build upon everything else in which you do. And at the end of the day, I love myself. I love what I've created for myself. Mm-hmm. I love the lifestyle I've built for myself. I love the path that I'm headed down. And, you know, why am I going to let somebody turn me down? Don't rain on my parade.
I love that. Yeah, and self-acceptance is such a big part of, you know, everyone. Like, everyone, I feel like, really needs to, can always work on that. Because, you know, whether, like, I feel like anyone in any job, any position, anywhere, any age, like, across the board, that's ties into, you know, your self-worth and stuff. So what can we do to work on our self-acceptance? Like, what are some exercises, if you have any, that you could share with us? I was stumbling over how to say that. I knew what I wanted to say, yes. but I didn't know how to say it. So, I was trying to find it.
So what you do, take out a pen and a paper and monologue all of those negative inner thoughts and feelings and beliefs that you hold about yourself. All of them. You're stupid, you're lazy, you're worthless, you're fat, you're ugly, you're this, you're that, you're the other thing. Write it all down, put it on paper, and now get out another piece of paper and dissect it. I feel like I am blank because blank. Who told you that? Where does that belief come from? What evidence do you have to support those beliefs? And now reread that piece of paper as if it was something that a friend wrote and talk to yourself like a friend. Would you let your friend talk to yourself that way? Would you let a friend put themselves down like that? Absolutely the F not. So why are you doing that to yourself? You know, like, you can't treat other people better than you treat yourself, silly. Like, you've got to be kind to yourself. And I think that's something that so many of us struggle with. So I think addressing that is a really great place to start growing, learning, and healing. You figure we all carry trauma with us. It's a fact. Every single person has that weird life story. Well, with that life story probably came some baggage and probably came some trauma. And honey, it's your job to deal with it. No one else's. And so you figure by doing some of that inner work, working on yourself, processing through those things, it is going to allow you to grow as a person, to accept yourself as a person, to love yourself as a person. Because, I mean, this is the body that I got you here today, isn't it?
Yeah. Wow. That's great. I'm going to do that. Thank you. Thank you so much for coming on. Yeah, no, it really is.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, this has
been
so great.
It's been a pleasure.
Where can people find you, follow you, tell us where we can watch you?
The internet.
What's your Instagram, Twitter?
Yes, the best place to find me is going to be my website, which is thealicelittle.com. And you can always reach out to me personally, alicelittle@thealicelittle.com. Of course, like we mentioned, I am on OnlyFans, which is onlyfans.com/thealicelittle. Or if you're more focused on the educational pursuits, you can join my digital classroom on Patreon, which is patreon.com/alicelittle. Of course, youtube.com/AliceLittleTV. On Twitter, I am @TheAliceLittle and Instagram @TheAliceLittleOfficial. And if you somehow made it to the end of this social media list, you get a gold star.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you taking the time, and I think you're amazing. And I'm definitely going to be following everything that you're going to be teaching going forward. And we need people like you to be educating everyone, you know, because we all need
Thank
to learn
you.
About what's going on. And I think you're amazing. Thank you so much.